Thank you, guys. It is an honor to be your pastor. I'm so proud of the guys last night and the ladies. And as I thought back to, as I heard, listened to them sing, I thought back to, you know, October, I've been your pastor for 20 years. And I'd like to say it's all been beautiful. It's all been wonderful. But it's been good. It's been rewarding. I wouldn't want to have done anything else. And to see those guys play and people praising the Lord, and I realize it's just all about Him. There is nothing that I've done or anybody else has done on their own. It is through Christ. And it is good to be here today. If you want to get your outlines out, we're going to be in part 6, this living with a margin. We're talking about contentment. Contentment is a margin for your soul. And I started a couple of weeks ago talking about learning the secret of being content. And I came out of Philippians 4, 11 through 13, probably one of the most famous verses for a lot of people in here, Philippians 4, 13. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. A couple of weeks ago, we discovered 3 truths about contentment. The first truth is this: contentment is not found in what I have. Contentment is not found in what happens to me. Then I gave you a couple of key words. Remember here and there? Remember, I was trying to tell you that if you're not content here, you won't be content there. If you're not content to where you're at, you won't be content going anywhere else. Don't confuse contentment with complacency. The third truth was contentment isn't found in comparing myself with others. Amen. You're getting some bad boats there when you start comparing yourself to others. That's what we talked about. You can get those CDs, or you can get on Stitcher and listen to that, where I listen to the guest speakers. It's an app that you can get on your smartphone. It's real, real nice. So let's jump right in it. I want to give you 5 key actions for finding contentment. 5 key actions. Because remember, contentment is learned. It's learned. We are born discontent. And I don't know about you, but sometimes we just have to keep re-enrolling in this school to learn to be content. It's almost a season to season. The very first action is this, that you and I've got to do. You got to put your hope in God. You got to put your hope in God. 1 Timothy 6:17a says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor put their hope in wealth, which is uncertain, but to put their hope in God. Put your hope in God, because God is certain. Wealth and money are not certain. It's fleeting. You and I can't take it with us anyway. But we can send it on ahead. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit. I want to give you a favorite prayer of mine. I discovered it when I was going through the, I go through the Proverbs from time to time, but I try to make this a prayer of mine every once in a while. It's Proverbs 30, verses 7 and 9. If you want to write that down and go back to it, it says this in the ESV version. Two things I ask of you. Deny them not to me before I die. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. I pray that I have a daily dependence on God. I had some advice when I was young. I can't remember if it was my mom or who it was. But they told me, said, Sonny, don't ever chase a career just based on money. Put meaning over money. Put meaning over money. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:6, godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Money's not going to last. But if you discipline and you strive to be godly, you're going to have contentment. And it's a great, great gain. Great, great gain. Three families 20 years ago. Three families 20 years ago put their hope in God. Not people, or they didn't succumb to pressure. Three families put their hope in God, and now North Point exists. God did it, but it was those three families that put their hope there. That's what I was thinking when the hecklers were heckling the band. That's what I was thinking when Renee texted me and told me about you accepting Jesus as your Lord. 20 years ago. Three, I don't know about them, but I was scared. I'd never been a pastor before. I'd been actually the exact opposite of a pastor. But I'm glad we put our hope in God. The second action for finding contentment is this. Focus on what you have and not what you don't have. Focus on what you have and not what you don't have. Because when we focus on what we don't have, it leads to discontent. It leads to discontent. Philippians 4:6 says this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Present your request to God. God knew that you and I would have a tendency to be anxious. God knew that you and I would have a tendency to worry about things. So he says the antidote to anxiety is prayer. That's the antidote. And this, I want to give you a real practical application on prayer. I want to ask you to make, when you pray, I want to ask you to make two lists. You don't have to write them down, but make two lists. And it'd be cool if you wrote them down. One being a request list. You know, this is where you list out your needs. Because that's petitioning. That's what he's talking about. So this first list might be a request list. Because to be honest with you, that's what's going to be on your mind first anyway. So you might as well go ahead and just write it out. The second list I want you to write is your thankful list. I would say write the thankful list first, but truth is we're going to be thinking about our needs anyway. So secondly, write your thankful list. This is all the things that we're thankful for. Then when you look at the two lists, I want you to focus primarily on the thankful list. Because if you focus primarily on the thankful list, you're not going to be discontent. If you focus on what you have and you give thanks for that, then you're going to be content. And this applies to a lot of different areas in our life. It applies to marriages. We talk about marriage a lot here. How many of you know that opposites attract, then they attack? I mean, it just happens. The very traits. Now, I'm talking. This is talking to somebody who's been. June will be 30 years from now. The very traits that drew you to your spouse later on drive you crazy. Drive you crazy. I mean, I can remember when we was first dating. It was cute. It was cute when I, y'all know what I'm talking about. We'll say cut the cheese. It ain't cute no more. It drives her crazy. Amen? And y'all got traits too. It was cute when I used to aggravate her. It ain't cute no more. Do I still do it? Yes. It is my spiritual gift. But here's the key. Focus on those traits that you fell in love with. I think the only thing that Angie's kept me around for is she has focused on my strengths and not my weaknesses. Amen. Focus on their strengths, not their weaknesses. It's the same thing with your job. You can throw your job in there. Nobody in here, I believe, has a job that they love everything about it. Amen? They love everything. But here's what I'm saying. Focus on what you do love about it. Focus on what you do love about it, and that will bring contentment. Focus on what you have. This is the third action. Enjoy what you have. It's different. Not just focus on what you have, but really enjoy what you have. Enjoy what you have. Look at 6:17b. God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. So many times, we get so busy seeking more, we don't enjoy what we have. Tell it. We don't, because we're seeking more. God wants you and me to enjoy life, not just endure it. He wants us to enjoy it. He wants us to be content. I try to believe every day that every single day is a gift from God. I believe that every breath I take is because of the very grace of God. I try to, somebody once told me, I try to make each day my masterpiece. And I attempt to live it to the fullness for Him. I look for the wonder in life. I look for the beauty in life. That's why sometimes I'm spaced out. And I don't see y'all when you walk by. And you may think I'm ignoring you. I am really looking for the beauty of what's going on. I look for it in people. And I know that it's all about the grace of God. You know, I'm grateful for my family. I'm grateful for you guys. I get to share every day. You know, as I was floating down that river, Toccoa River last weekend, I thought, I get to share every day with my wife when she's not at the beach. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for Luke and Sarah. You know, and Luke and I have so much in common. And we're a lot alike. I think that's cool. Although it can be bad. Because the parts that he's like me are the parts that aggravate me. And then Sarah, her love for nature, her and I share that. I'm going hiking with her and Aaron today. I'm thankful. I woke up this morning. I'm just thankful that I can go with her, that I can spend that time with her. I'm grateful that I can do that. But you know what? I'm grateful for a lot. I'm grateful for toilet paper. Aren't y'all?
Yes,
go a day without it. I didn't want to get all sappy, but enjoy what you have. Enjoy what you have, amen? So when you use toilet paper today, and I hope you do, I hope you remember this part. It says, enjoy what you have, amen? More, fourth action. Invest in what lasts forever. Invest in what lasts forever. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Underline that, good deeds. Be rich in good deeds. Only two things last forever: God's word and people. So Paul writes here that we to invest in that which will last forever. Invest in God's word. Invest in people. I told you I have this saying that I try to go by that I've taught my children, that we love people. If you love people, you'll use money. If you love money, you'll use people. You can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead by giving your money for God's purposes, by using your resources and talents right now. You can send it on ahead. You know what I found out in my 20 years as your pastor and 56 years of living? I found out that one of the best ways to find contentment is to reach out and help someone else in need.
That's right. Amen.
Help someone else in need. There's always going to be somebody out there that's a little worse off than you. And when you reach out to help them, it really seems to minimize your own problems. Somebody had their phone on, didn't they? When you help someone, like I said, it seems to minimize your own problems. Sometimes they even disappear. You ever notice that? They just slap dab disappear. Do good. Be rich in good deeds. That brings contentment. Be rich in good deeds. Last action, number five. See, you're rewarded for me taking the weekend off. I don't preach long today. Find your sufficiency in Christ. Find your sufficiency in Christ, not in your own sufficiency. You see, the secret of contentment's not a program. It's a person. It's a person of Jesus Christ in a relationship with Him. King David had this kind of relationship when he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not what?
Want."
King David had this relationship. Another version says, "I will not lack. I will not lack." He says, "I have what I need." You see, Jesus is more than enough. Let me get to Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. A lot of people emphasize this word, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But the emphasis should be on through Christ. I can do all things through Christ. Through Christ who strengthens me. You know, Paul had some sort of thorn in the flesh. We don't really know what it was, but he asked God three times, to take it away. He cried out, take this away from me. It could have been painful, I don't know. But the Lord said, no. He said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. He said, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to use you despite your thorn in your flesh. I'm going to use you. Rick Warren says that you and I need to learn to manage our issues. I agree with him. We need to learn to manage our issues. And we can manage them through the grace of God while learning the process of contentment. To manage our issues. We've all got issues. You know, when someone asks me all the time, I used to find it awkward, but now I don't. I just do. They ask me a lot of times that I've just met them, how many children you have? I always say I have three children. And I have two on earth, one in heaven. You know, I have because a lot of you guys know Sarah and Luke, and some of you guys don't know about my third child. She was born on February 10th, 1995. Angie and I had a little girl. She only lived 40 minutes. Her name is Sunny, named after me, my Rock Mart alter ego. And I wanted this child since I was 14. I always wanted to have a little girl named Sunny, and we named Sarah because after Cheryl and Nanny, and so I was praying for another little girl, and I said, the next little girl, I want to name her after me. I've been praying for this girl since I was 14. And doctor came in and told us, said, hey, when we went to that, it was back then, it was a jelly rub, and you heard the heartbeat, and then they looked at the thing and said, hey, got good news for you, got a girl. I looked at Angie, that's Sonny. My second girl, child was a girl. I said, Sonny. We done decided she's going to be named Sonny. He said, but I need to confer with another doctor. I'll be back in a minute. Well, she had a rare virus that was attacking her liver and heart while she was in the womb. And she had a 301 shot of living. And that was with three surgeries afterwards. And it started us a long journey of hospitals and doctors. But you know, I was a young Christian and I knew everything was going to be all right because I prayed and I believed. I believed. But 40 minutes after Sonny died, she died, and I was holding her and she died in my arms. And while her mother was kissing her, I was mad. I was more than mad. I mean, it's just the way it was. That was the toughest thing that I've ever gone through. But I'll tell you this. In those next few days, as tough as it was, I've never felt closer to God. Never felt closer to God than in those next few days. The Bible says the Lord is close to the broken heart. And he heals those who are crushed in spirit. I was weak. But I read the words, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You may be experiencing a loss. You may have a health issue. And so some folks say you can't recover. So they tell me, I'll never get over this. And you can't. Not on your own. If you rely on yourself sufficiently, you can't. But through Christ, He will give you strength to overcome it. He will put the joy back in your heart that you never knew existed. He can do it. I would even say that you will have a greater capacity for joy because you've been down so low. So low. Don't waste your pain. You will have a greater capacity for joy. It will take you to another level of appreciation and contentment. It really will. Learn to be content with the grace of God. You will have the love of God that compels us. And you, I'm telling you, when you learn to be content, that compels us to live for God and not just for ourselves. It's contentment. That we could live for others and His purposes. Guys, I want to tell you, I can stand here and truthfully say, if God is for you, then who can be against you? You know, you're more than conquerors in Jesus Christ who loves you. It's a journey to learn contentment. It's tough. But it's good. I want you to remember one thing. That every once in a while in my anger, I forgot. Remember, God is with you. Whatever you're going through, whatever that's eating at you, whatever issue that you have, remember God is with you. You are not alone. You are not alone. And I guess that's all I got to say about that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as Connor and Evan come forward to be baptized, it's exciting. Lord, help us to manage our issues. Restore the joy back into our lives. If we don't manage those issues are going to dictate our decisions. Every decision we make will be filtered through those hurts. Help us not so easily be offended. Because our identity is in You. And not in what people say. Our identity is in You and not what we do. Our identity is in You, Lord, and not how we look. I am a child of the King. And I will say, I'm sorry because briefly I was offended by the words of one this morning. But not anymore. I belong to You. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.